Coming in hot, 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 Lisa shares her financial tips and strategies to build wealth, have fun with finances, and be debt-free without having a restrictive budget. From bankrupt to millionaire, Lisa knows what it's like to feel as if you're living paycheck to paycheck. Her unconventional money multiplier system is the very wealth protocol that enabled her to retire 2.5 years early, pay down $100,000 of debt in 6 months, and move to her dream home at the beach. Hey, hey, welcome back to this episode of I Date Money. I'm your hostess, Lisa Drennan, and today we have a special guest. Heather Murphy is a genealogist and host of the Stories in Our Roots podcast. She works with women to better understand themselves and their potential by learning the stories of their ancestors and the effects of the past on the present. Isn't that cool? Heather lives in Washington State with her husband and teenage son. What you do is fascinating. I was like looking at the word genealogist. I was like, oh, am I going to say that right? I don't even know if I said it correctly. And then I was just like, this is awesome. So tell us, how did you get into this niche?
Well, I've always loved family and that investigation that comes in, like digging in the records and finding the stories, even as like high school projects. I went to a university and after my first year, found out that they actually had a degree in family history and genealogy. And I said, that is for me. And so for the last 20 years, I've been helping people learn those stories about their ancestors. And then 2020 happened and there was so much need for people to help their mental health, to help themselves feel better. And everything that I looked at, I was like, well, family history can help with that. Family history can help with connection. It can help with calming yourself. It can help with clarity and like all these things, resilience. Family history, as you learn those stories about your ancestors, can help you with. And so I pivoted from just researching for clients and giving the data to helping them learn those lessons from the past and make it mean something in their life and actually change their future because they know the past.
I love that. And, you know, in relationship to money, a lot of times I'm telling my clients, your thought process, you know, your thoughts are the most powerful tool that you have. And we never learn finances, but we catch them. And if you think about I call it a generational curse, all the things that were passed on, you know, we focus on the negative here from generation to generation about finances, because when you look at our history, there was a lot of poverty and scarcity and war and depression, you know, and now things are in abundance, but we still have this mindset. So I'm really curious to dig deeper into that money story that we have. And like, where do you even start to understand how that relates to what the financial decisions that we're making today?
Absolutely. Just looking at my own family. So when I started my business, I would get stuck and I couldn't figure out why. And one of the things from just looking at family history, because that's what I do, is that I had generations of businesses that failed. My parents had 2 failed businesses. My grandfather had a failed business. So even though I wasn't consciously thinking, oh, I can't be successful because it's in my blood not to be, by recognizing those stories, I can say, hey, that's pulling me a direction I don't want to go. Now that I'm conscious and aware of it, I can choose something different. And I can actually even go find stories that go the other direction. And I can make those thoughts into my head.
That's really incredible when we think about that. And we get to choose, right? You know, and they don't teach us that you get to choose your thoughts. We just take on and absorb everything else that we live in. So when you think about your childhood and the things that were passed on, what is the first thing that comes to mind that was passed on from from the previous generation to you about money?
That good times were always around the corner. That's what my parents said. But what I took from it was, but they never show up. So my dad had this sleep disorder where he'll like sleep for days at a time. And so it made it really hard for him to have a sustainable job. Mm-hmm. So like he would work as a carpet layer for himself and travel all around and lay carpet because he could kind of do it on his schedule. But then he was never home. So my parents bought a trailer and we would go around and travel around with them. And that worked for a while. But throughout my childhood, that trailer kind of became a symbol of who we were. We didn't have a permanent place. We were always going from job to job, moving all over. That business went bankrupt. We were just scraping by, sometimes parking in the back of somebody's lot that they had or in a trailer park. And that's just kind of the way things were. Mm-hmm. But looking back and looking at it with a different perspective, like, okay, how does that influence my money story? How does that influence? It's that you'll just scrape by, but you won't get anything else. Mm-hmm. So even now when I have lots of abundance and can budget out, that's one thing that came with that was I am an excellent budgeter. I budget everything and have my entire married life is planning for the future. And that has become a real strength. So even though I have this pull of there's not enough, mm-hmm. I'm able to show myself, but there is. And that has taken a lot of work to overcome that story that I grew up with to translate into now when that story no longer applies. But my body and my mind thinks it does.
Well, that's awesome. And to be able to work through that and recognize it, what system did you use to budget? Like, who taught you how to budget? If your parents weren't showcasing that for you, how did you pick up that skill?
I have always loved numbers, like playing with numbers. And so I think that's just where it started. I just started with a simple Excel spreadsheet and kept track of everything because a budget for me gave me freedom. Mm-hmm. Because growing up, I would watch my parents juggle the credit cards, get those 0% interest to juggle this one onto that one. They were using food stamps and sometimes they had to put groceries on the credit card and they just never knew when money was going to come in. So it was very tumultuous. Like we never knew if we actually would have enough. Mm-hmm. And so that's where budgeting came in for me is it gave me stability. I could, even when we're living on student loans, my husband and I could plan out and that gave me security. Okay, we have money to pay the electric bill. If I buy this $5 thing for me, that's okay because I have the money for electric bill set aside. So then it just developed from there. And my husband wasn't on board with it at first. He was like, okay, do whatever you want. And now he looks back and he's like, has saved us tens of thousands of dollars because we budgeted from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Having a system in place is so important. And a lot of entrepreneurs will enter into business without having a business plan, a financial plan, a marketing plan in place, thinking, oh, we'll just figure it out as we go. You know, and I was taught the money envelope system at a very young age and basically took that and created money buckets electronically, which I think are so much fun and getting to fill my money buckets up. And that's what I teach my clients in the Wealth Acceleration Program. And I see one common thing that regardless of, you know, what earnings are coming in, when there is no system, there's like their hands turn into sieves, like the money just falls through their hands. And a lot of times they'll say, well, you know, they want to blame the past. They don't want to blame like, well, you know, I come from a divorced family or, you know, this is how my parents demonstrated it. It's a really bad habit to break and a hard habit to break. And it's like, okay, but when do you get to claim responsibility? So when you think about, you know, the way that you were raised with the traveling and all of that, do you ever get a sense of pull to want to like go back to those roots and say, hey, this is like, you know, I'm going to do this because this is how it was demonstrated for me. And then you kind of catch yourself and say, oh, no, we have a new path.
Not when it comes to money, because it was really traumatic for me. I was the oldest of five children. My dad was disabled. My mom, when I was eight, and then my mom had to kind of find work wherever she could. And so I took on a lot of that parental responsibility and carrying the stress for my parents. So I did not want to ever have to wonder how I was going to pay a bill. So budgeting is like a lifeline for me.
Yeah. What about your grandparents? What did they pass on?
My maternal grandparents, my grandfather worked in the military, so they were pretty average. One thing that he did is he took care of his things, like his truck. He would take care and do the maintenance along the way so that it didn't completely break down. Whereas on my paternal side, my dad was like, well, let's just use it as much as we can until the car breaks down, and then we'll take it out of service and find this other car that's also broken down, but not quite as much. And then we'll use that in the meantime. So my maternal side had a little bit more stability that way, and let's take care of what we have and kind of start in the middle with that and maintain the middle. Whereas the other side was, well, we're going to start at the bottom and just kind of bump along.
Yeah. And thinking about that, and what was passed on, like, you know, if your, you know, maternal grandparents did it one way and then all of a sudden your parents came together, why do you think they were so different?
I think it's because my dad had the more authoritative presence. Mm-hmm. And he was the one who could fix the things. And so even though, and because of the resources. So my parents did not have the resources and the dependability of those resources that my grandparents had. They always knew that they were going to get a paycheck. My parents didn't know when they were going to get a paycheck or when we were going to be moving again because this job dried up and we needed to go find another one. So I think it really has a difference whether you know what money is coming in, mm-hmm. or whether you just kind of have to fly by the seat of your pants. And when you get money, you buy enough groceries for 2 months and hope that they last.
Yeah. And living like that is very stressful. And I imagine it enhances any kind of physical pain that we might experience. And I know in my background working at the Social Security Administration, I'm very familiar with disability benefits and all of that. And, you know, a lot of times we would see people come in and the disability would enhance towards when they were losing their job. You know, like the stress of the job would actually create more physical ailments, and it was almost like a domino effect. But they would always have this sense of, you either had a sense of, I want to go back to work, I'm going to get better, I'm going to go back to work. And you would see people with great disabilities like come and thrive and go back to work and get a different career. Like, I'm just going to get a different career and find ways to multiply their money. And on the other hand, you'd have people say, I'm just going to give up, you know, and the thought process is so powerful. And I know we're influenced by society, by our upbringing, by our, you know, our ancestors and the way that they did things. Because if you think about like the pioneer days, they worked really hard. And a lot of families would be like, well, no, you got to work hard and you have to fight and you have to do this. But most people, regardless of how much money they had coming in, they all felt the same way. They all felt like, and wondered and worried, like, will there be enough? Will there be enough for the future? And then there's that other flip side of, tomorrow's not promised. Do we really need to save for the future? So what's your perspective on that? And how do you work through it?
That is something that I struggle with, that whole idea of maybe we're not going to have enough for the future. And something I just read a few weeks ago, one of Brené Brown's books, I've always thought, you know, have scarcity and you have abundance. But she put in a little one in the middle there, which is sufficient. Mm-hmm. Because the problem with abundance is that, for me at least, it keeps moving. Like 5 years ago, our income has increased by 50% over the last 5 years. And yet I'm still struggling with the same mindset that I did before, because the abundance bar keeps moving. Mm-hmm. So abundance for us when we were in college was much lower than abundance it is now when my husband's 10 years into his career and we're doing great. And so I really found it fascinating with sufficient. It helps me bring back from that abundance bar that keeps moving to say, do I have sufficient? And and be more grateful for what I do have now and acknowledge that it is different from when I grew up. And I am in a different situation when I grew up, because sometimes my body wants to go back there and it's constant reminding that, hey, we're not there anymore. We're in a new place.
Yeah. And it is. And a lot of people, you know, thank you for sharing that, because a lot of people think that it's a one and done, like, oh, I'm just going to have this thought process. I'm going to implement this tool and then everything's going to be, no, that's not how it works. It's an everyday decision and working through and implementing the tools, because money at the end of the day is a tool and we get to use it and benefit. And everyone has their own definition of abundance and wealth. And it's a beautiful way to say that, because I have clients, their definition of wealth is a tiny home on, you know, a lot of acres of land, whereas other ones want a huge beach house overlooking the ocean, or some want to travel all over the world. And that's their idea of abundance. But I have a few clients that are minimalist, and I love it, because, you know, you see inside their homes and you're like, you have money? Like, what are you doing with your money? But this is how they live, and they'd rather enjoy experiences, you know, and go out to dinner and treat people and just, you know, pay it forward all day long. Like, that's their definition of wealth. So thinking about, you know, like money buckets, one of our money buckets from the money multiplier system is fun money. So do you have a bucket for fun money? And if so, how do you spend it? What's your favorite thing to buy?
Yeah, so we have a whole lot of buckets. So we have our personal fun money buckets for my husband and I, and then we have like a family vacation fun bucket, and then just another fun bucket for like little things that come up during the month. So I buy a lot of books, I guess, and then starting more so to set aside that money for more traveling. That all that moving around, 7 years ago, we actually bought a house, and this is the longest I've lived anywhere. Like, we've lived here before that, it was like 3 years in one place. And so travel for me is a way to have new experiences and stimulate my brain in a different way, because I'm not used to being in one place for so long.
Yeah. And having that stability is beautiful. So 7 years is awesome. That's a magic number, you know, and being able to travel and go where you are. What's your dream vacation or dream place that you want to
go? Oh, I'm not very creative, but just anywhere that's not snow.
Yeah. Yep. I'm there with you. My husband wanted to go to Alaska and I'm like, where? That's too cold. But I've always wanted to see all the states, and he traveled. He was a mapper way back in the day. And so he's traveled a lot of the states, and I've only seen, like, you know, most of the East Coast and a few states on the West Coast. And I want to see Europe. Like, I would love to. So we get to go to Europe in March, which I'm very excited about, you know. And when we were working at our career jobs for the, you know, we both retired in 2021. All those years we had set up these buckets for, you know, retirement and investments. And, you know, you can't touch that, because that's saving for a rainy day and saving for your future when you retire so you can travel. And we've been retired for 2 years. We moved to our dream home at the beach, and we hadn't really taken any vacation since we moved here, because we're always on vacation. It's like every day is a vacation. And then I was just like, well, I think it's time to travel. Like, you know, the pandemic's over. We can travel more. There's no restrictions. You don't have to wear a mask. Let's do it. So we just celebrated our 30th anniversary, and we're going to go to a Viking cruise to Europe.
Awesome.
So, yeah, cruises is one of the most fun ways to travel, because you get to see all these different places. So, you know, I always like to say, just watch the Travel Channel and like pick a place. And it's so much fun, because when we, like, I have my clients specifically choose a money bucket and like visualize like, where are you going with this money bucket? Like, if it's, I have one client who's taking her family to Germany. So create that visual. What are you doing in Germany? Who are you seeing? And like, what are you going to eat? And just kind of create that visual. So when you're filling up that money bucket, it becomes really exciting. Because a lot of times people will fill up their money bucket and they're like, oh, I need to borrow from that, but I'll put it back. And it helps change that thought process of, no, we're not going to borrow from it. This is this money bucket. here's the money bucket that we need to do this. So I love that you have several money buckets. I mean, we can have up to 20 at least with one bank account. So that's an awesome way to be able to make your money grow. When you think about investing in yourself and doing something for self-development, self-fulfillment, what do you like to do?
The last few years, I've done a lot of coaching classes that I've taken. Right now, I'm in one that's learning to speak in your charisma styles, like your true self. So you're not trying to be somebody else. And that's been really interesting because it's not just showing up for marketing, but mm-hmm. it's in all your interactions with everyone. What faces have you put on yourself to be something for somebody else that's not really who you are? So mm-hmm. I like taking business coaching classes that have that personal element as well that help me in both areas of my life.
Oh, I love that. What a great way to invest in yourself and to help yourself be the best person you can be, to show up authentically, you know, because I know a lot of clients I work with, they're like, well, I don't really know how to market myself. I'm like, just show up as yourself and talk, you know, and share. And I know
that's
like
so hard.
Yeah. Well, being vulnerable is really challenging because there's things like I got really good at hiding, you know, like back when I was growing up in the early 80s, we didn't talk about our feelings and we didn't talk about money and sex and none of that. That was all taboo. Right. And then, you know, I have three older brothers and you didn't cry. Like, no, I'm sorry. You don't cry. So I got really good at hiding my feelings, you know, and then all of a sudden we're on the online world and we're talking and we're sharing content. And it's like, oh, you got to be vulnerable. And I'm like, no, I don't. I'm not being vulnerable. They don't need to know my personal life. And it was really challenging for my family for me to share some things because they were like, Mom, you've been so guarded. And I'm like, it's time to share our feelings and our emotions. And I love like being in the online world where all of that is taking place. So when you work with clients, tell us a little bit about what you do.
So for my VIP clients, what I do is I research their family history, whether they already know a lot or a little. I start with what they have, but what I focus on is those 2 to 4 generations from them. And I go deep into learning what their stories are. And I share that with the clients. And then the clients are having things they want to work through, like their money story or imposter syndrome or gender roles that they feel like they've been pulled into. And then understanding how their family history and those experiences have led to the way they see the world. And then once they're aware of those stories, then they can choose to disregard the ones that don't serve them anymore, or hold on to those examples that they didn't realize were there that could empower them to live life and to be themselves more, and not what the different generational expectations has kind of created that they should be.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Well, thank you so much for sharing all of that. Tell us, what's the best financial tip that you've received that you've implemented into your life?
Well, one really good one was not to consolidate my husband's student loans. When we started paying them off, it was like $800 a month. But since we didn't consolidate, now we're down to like $200 a month. Whereas if we would have consolidated, we would have still had that lump sum. And it feels so good to just get rid of those student loans one at a time and have them be gone.
Yeah. And the interest rates are fairly low on those. You know, I like to say anything below 7%, you really don't want to touch it. Just let it go. So that's awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing. For those listening, check the show notes. If you're interested in checking out your genealogy, your history, and what is going on and why you're making the decisions you're making, Heather is your girl to check that out and really dive deep into that. So check the show notes for the links, get into her world. And think about like your thoughts and you're making decisions when it comes to money. Are you being driven by your past, by your ancestors? What was carried on from, you know, mom to dad, whatever. And then all of a sudden you're like, why am I making this decision? And all you need to do to make a change is to change that thought and ask yourself, what do you really want? And remember, it doesn't matter how much money you have, it's what you do with it. Hey, thanks for tuning into the show. Give us a 5-star review and share it with your friends. Get ready to activate wealth. Be the next millionaire with a simple adjustment of your finances using an energetically aligned money multiplier system. You get to build wealth by partnering with money. It's time to have fun with finances. Pick a date. The link is in the show notes to book your wealth activation call where you will get the one solution to multiply your money. Remember, it doesn't matter how much money you make, it's what you do with it.